And of course, up next, Whitley Strieber, noted author, of course, and Winfrey will be joining us this segment. Later on in the program, Robert Gleason joins us. He's my editor at TorForge, but also wrote a book called Apocalypse 2012. William Henry will join us. Graham Hancock, Robert Bavall will join us. We'll try to get Daniel Pinchbeck on the program as well, and Maurice Cotterell, a number of people, and your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Whitley Strieber, of course, noted author, including 2012, The War for Souls. He's got his own internet-based radio program, Dreamland, and his website, unknowncountry.com, and by his wife, Anne, is one of the most popular science websites in the world. Well, Whitley, we made it through, didn't we?
A lot of us would have been extremely embarrassed if the world had ended, but it didn't.
No.
Not yet. So I didn't expect anything like that to happen. I knew Jose Arguez, who died a few years ago, and he was the person who...
He started all this, didn't he?
He started in a sense, but it kind of got away from him. I think he'd be very disappointed about this whole end-of-the-world thing that kind of blew up in the media. You know, they're always hoping to make something out of a mountain, out of a molehill, and I guess it seemed like a good story, so that's where it went. But there were a lot of other things connected with it, like the idea that we were passing over the lens of the galaxy. That's not true. I mean, at least this, let me rephrase that. As far as the astronomers understand it, it isn't that happen. We're about between 75 and 100 light years above the plane of the galaxy right now, and we're not going to be passing over it again for a very long time.
Right.
And so where that kind of came from, I don't know. And the other thing is, there was supposedly a big planetary alignment, and you can see quite a number of the planets in the sky at night right now, but they're not aligned at all. The thing is, though, I found it a very beautiful day. It's the solstice, Christmas is coming, and a lot of people, it meant a lot to a lot of people. The end of the 13th Baktun in Mayan cosmology is a very profound moment. And so I decided it's worth respecting, even if a lot of the hype surrounding it is just that hype.
Let me ask you, though, Whitley, the fact that maybe it was a lot of hype, does it negate the fact that something one day could happen?
Not at all.
No.
It will happen. I mean, George, it will happen. This species will not last forever. They do not do that. That isn't how it works. More than 99% of all species that have ever lived on Earth are gone. Species have lives just like individuals do. For example, I published an e-book a couple of days ago called Solar Flares, which is about the danger of solar storms. And it's not that the solar storms are getting worse. They're not. But our electrical grid is getting more and more delicate because it's getting bigger and bigger and more complicated. So smaller and smaller solar storms can have a bigger and bigger effect. If a solar storm were to knock out the electrical grid, it would be an unimaginable catastrophe.
Huge. Huge.
Huge. And what if that happened? I mean, of course it can happen. It nearly happened in 2003. If a solar storm that hit in 1921 hit now, we'd be toast. It didn't bother us then. I mean, people didn't even know it happened. So, yes, things can go wrong. Will it? Can anyone predict it? No. No one can.
Would it be the perfect storm?
Well, you mean like a superstorm?
Or whatever it might be. I mean,
exactly.
Everything.
It would have to be the perfect storm of whatever it might be.
Yeah.
You know, a huge solar flare erupts and it's pointed directly at Earth. That you know, that would be, it could happen. The magnetosphere goes into chaos long before we think it will. I mean, it's changing right now, and it's going to change polarity, and the scientists think in about 1,000 years. What if it happened tomorrow? It would be darned inconvenient.
I was in the Huffington Post a couple days ago, Whitley.
I saw it was a great article, George.
Lee Spiegel did a super job. And the headline was, "We're going to be here." And he was quoting me, and I always believe that. Were you surprised at all that nothing in terms of some kind of calamity occurred?
I was very happy that there was no group suicide or any kind of lunacy like that. That was my main concern. Because as you know, Art and I went through that years ago, and
it can happen,
and it's just so foolish. Nothing like that happened, fortunately. It was because the people who took a real interest in this were mostly people who took an interest in it for reasons of meditation or interest in energy and things like that. They were never really the people who were looking upon it as an end of the world thing. We're all obviously hucksters and media people trying to drum up ratings and whatnot. So that never kind of flew. They wanted it to fly very badly, but it never did.
Let's take some calls here, Whitley, for a little bit while we've got you. Let's go to Derek, Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, first time caller. Hey, Derek, thanks for calling.
Hi. My question was, I was watching a documentary on YouTube. It was called Ancient Knowledge and Technology. And at the end, it had a segment where it played Coast to Coast, and it had William Henry on there, William Henry talking.
Who will come on sometime tonight, as a matter of fact.
That's great. I'd like to hear him talk, actually. I was wondering what actually he would have to say about this. He's talking about ascension, and
he is. Well,
he's making money off of it too. So
he'll be on soon enough. And William, of course, one of your dear friends, Whitley.
I just want to say this. I know William well, and he ain't making much money off of it. He's dear. Believe me, if he wanted to make money, he'd be doing something else.
That's true.
I know him very well, and I can assure you this is the case.
Absolutely. Whitley, you and Ann have a great Christmas, my friend.
Well, you too, George, and everybody out there. Let's have a lovely Christmas and be filled with joy in the presence of each other.
Thank you, Whitley Strieber. And, of course, Wyn Free is with us now. Wyn is an author, of course, wrote the book The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. I want to get your input in this, Wyn. What do you think of this?
Hi, George.
Hi.
Well, actually, when I first started studying David Wilcock, it was my first introduction to this whole concept of this, what they call a dimensional shift. And I have a little bit of different point of view than most of the people that have been on tonight.
All right, let's hear it.
Because I have been talking to these celestial sources. It's a wacko story, except it holds together. There's too many phenomena.
What do they tell you?
What's going on is that there's an energy that flows from the center of the universe that the entire universe is made up of, including Earth, including the sun, including the solar system. And this energy, it shifts all the time. One of the things that makes it shift is astrological cycles. And on December 21st, today, there is an alignment that's not just astrological, but with galaxies that have allowed this energy to flow into our realm at the strongest amplitude in the history of mankind. And what that means is that it's kind of like if you were heating water, you would heat the water, but it would take a while for the water to start boiling. So the water is heated. The energy is here. And there's a couple things that are very, very, very important, at least from my knowledge, that helpful for people to understand. And one of these things is that everyone is on a track of evolution. They're on an evolutionary path. And that when you die, you continue that path. And most often, we come back in future bodies.
Will you continue it, or should we continue it, that path?
Well, you don't have a choice, truthfully, in most cases, because you come back in another body because you have uncompleted things that are worked out. You exist as an energy in another dimension, and the energy goes to where there's residuals. So if when you leave this realm, if you always wanted to become famous, or if you wanted to have a beautiful wife, or if you wanted to make a lot of money, those were very strong ambitions, you would have to come back into this kind of realm in order to fulfill those ambitions. And so you come into another body down the line. And according to my information, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of embodiments. And there is an evolutionary path possible from one lifetime to the next to the next. Now, the Earth also is alive, and the Earth has an evolutionary path. And you're familiar with the word chakra, yes, George?
Right.
You know, there's seven chakras. The Earth has been, I'm making this simple, the Earth has been a third chakra planet for millenniums. That means third chakra relates to power and individuality. So the lessons on the Earth are related to third chakra, power and individuality. This new heightened energy that's coming in is causing the Earth right now to move into, making it simple, a fourth chakra planet, which is compassion and empathy. Now, the Earth has this huge energy around it, and everyone exists in the energy field of the Earth. Most of us don't know it. The Native Americans know it. Probably the Mayans knew it. They can feel the energy of the Earth, and the Earth is moving into this higher octave, which is the heart chakra. So what's happening is that for a human to continue their evolution on the Earth, their own heart chakra has to be open slightly more than half, or else they won't fit into the new energy of the Earth. And what they're saying is there's going to be a separation of souls. Those that move into this new Earth, and those that they call cycle repeaters, that have to continue learning the lessons of power and individuality.
That's a good point.
And so there has never been a more, people are making those decisions right now. And that is the most significant thing about this shift and why it's so important to have the qualities of compassion and empathy. Now, the thing is, these group souls, you know, we talked about that on two shows. There's these two group souls, the Elohim group that says they created the universe, and the Ra group that are made up of graduates who have gone through this process of evolution, and they act as a team helping planets at lower levels. These group souls are able to flow energy into this realm in a way that people can feel them. And, you know, I do these conference calls, and I get hundreds of emails. I mean, this started out being totally crazy for me. And I said, how does this work? Where do I go with this? And I was experimenting. People can feel the energy on the conference call. Sometimes people have healing.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. And then they talk to us right on the conference call. So what's happening is I'm creating a vehicle where people who feel out of it, alienated, separated, can actually open their hearts right on the call. And what they're saying is there are millions of people in this realm right now that graduated, actually tens of millions, that actually left this realm and didn't have to come back, but they chose to come back because this realm needed them to be of service. But once they got here, they got amnesiac and they didn't know why they were here anymore. And I would guess that lots of your listeners are those kinds of people.
That could be. Could be. Were you, though, thinking about the possibility that maybe something won't happen on that day, December 21st, yesterday now?
Well, actually, I asked the question starting months and months ago.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't believe their answers. I have to validate it. But I ask it, and I put it in my computer. And basically, they said, this was the day of maximum energy, but really, things are going to continue and shift till 2017. And it is us, you and I, and your listeners, and humanity, that's going to affect with our consciousness, our ability to hold our energies open, the outcomes of many, many things. For example, Earth changes. The more people that are holding this energy flow, the less the Earth changes, the less destructive Earth changes will be.
And oh, that's a good thing.
As you know, there's a battle for the consciousness of people down here. And there's one group that's trying to scare people and do whatever they can. And there's another group that's helping to open energies up and create loving energies. And we're voting. How many people, how many people, where is your vote being cast in the collective? Because what they tell me is that they do all kinds of interventions here, but they can only do them based on the propensity for positive choice in people. Like the Ra Group has said, and people have to read my materials. You know, I give my book away for free, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. You have to buy not only $12, but my website, intelligent-infinity.com. I give away my Elohim book. And you have to study my story, because you can't believe channeled information just because somebody says it comes from a higher source.
Well, and you have to question where that source is. Let's take a few calls here, Wynn. John in Buffalo, New York. Go ahead, John.
Hey, George, how are you? I haven't talked to you in about 2 years, so please don't say...
Where you've been?
Other places.
All right, go ahead.
But anyway, regarding this recent end of the world stuff,
you
know how nonsensical it is? The media, if you noticed, really didn't give a crap. And that's why I think this nonsense about end of the world stuff has been proven to be nonsensical, because the media didn't care.
Well, right at the end they cared. They came in like gangbusters, Winfrey, right at the end. The last couple weeks has been so intense. I, too, asked the question, where you people been during this story? But they sure jumped on at the end. And all of it was, it's the end of the world. NASA being the only one that said, it won't happen. I don't count myself into that, but I said that too. Still with us?
I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you think?
Well, I think that in this realm, when something becomes topical and people can make money, they jump on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true with even a lot of people who have been proponents of 2012, finding some reason to get people's attention. And it's just the way this realm works.
It works that way all the time. Wynn, thank you so much. Up next, Robert Gleason joins us, author Apocalypse 2012. William Henry a little bit later on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our shout out to those of you to listen to Coast on our more than 560 radio stations across North America. Hello, Coast Insiders. Thank you. And XM Talk, Channel 168. What about the various chat rooms and groups? Into Infinity, great people there. Fantastic Forum 2, Imaginative Worlds, Sorcery, IRC. How about those of us who follow us on Twitter and Facebook? If you haven't, go ahead and do it by going to coasttocoastam.com. Yahoo Chat, the National Radio Club, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, and our friend Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Well, he's my editor at Tor Forge. That's right. He's the one who redlines my manuscripts, but he's also an accomplished author on his own, End of Days, Apocalypse 2012. Robert Gleason has dedicated more than 30 years to researching the threat of nuclear terrorism and the possibility of nuclear annihilation, recently featured in the History Channel special, Prophets of Doom. Here he is back on Coast to Coast. Robert, how are you?
Oh, everything's great. It's wonderful to talk to you, George.
I've got you up in the wee hours. You're on the East Coast now, aren't you?
Yeah, no, not when I'm talking to you. I'm a ball of fire.
Are you sure? You're always that. Well, hey, so did you expect something to happen on this day?
Well, you know, as we've talked before, that the Maya, whereas we, you know, worship the scientific method, you know, we look up to people like Isaac Newton and Darwin and Socrates, Einstein. You know, they worship the mystics. They worship revelation, epiphany. People that starve themselves. They take hallucinogens, and they would have these great visions. And we consider that to be irrational. In fact, we consider some of that kind of behavior to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so our notion is that you have to be able to prove something empirically. That you have to be able to do experiments, make these things repeat themselves over and over again. And then, you know, they didn't go for any of that. They went for people, shaman who would have these visions, and there was never any proof. There's never been any logic that the world comes to an end on the 21st. It's basically somebody's vision. Also, Bishop Hato in the Spanish clergy, in the Spanish Inquisition, actually, mm-hmm. he was responsible for having burned all the Mayan books, the Mayan codices, they were called. They were the books that they had, and they were actually on paper. And he did an incredibly thorough job. They erased everything. And so what we have, when we read about what we know about the Maya, it comes from a lot of its inscriptions on monuments. It's as if everything we knew about the United States, we'd gotten off the Lincoln Memorial and off George Washington.
Yeah, in one sweep.
Yeah, and that that we really don't know that much about them. And what's happened is that immediately after we burned all these books, that there were some very generous and very smart priests that were fluent in Nahuatl. The Aztec language. They went around and they interviewed a lot of holy men, and they gathered up a lot of folklore, and they collected it in books. And they would hear tales that the world's going to come to an end. Well, all the great myths and religions, they all have a Genesis myth, they have an end-time myth. The Genesis myths tend to be kind of dull. End-time myths tend to be very elaborate, very interesting.
Scary.
Oh yeah, and that's a whole big part of being. Life can be a very scary, you know, situation. And so these end time myths there's something symmetrical about them. You know, there's a beginning and an end, and they'd gather up some of this stuff. But this would just be folk tales that people were telling, and it wasn't whatever we would have learned in all these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of books. That's vanished forever. And also we have people now that will go, they're called Mayanists, and they'll go down to the Yucatan or whatever,
yeah.
And they'll hang out with some shaman and tribal shaman, and they'll, you know, some of them will take hallucinogens, and they'll have shared visions. And then they come back and they read these fragments that are left of the codices and whatever, and they'll also have visions along with the shaman. And it's out of all this, which is essentially an oral tradition, that the vision of the Mayan apocalypse comes. You would be hard-pressed to find any evidence of it in the actual Mayan writing.
Let's take a few calls here with you, Robert, while we can. With the moment we have you, we'll go to Frank in Los Angeles, first-time caller. Frank, go ahead.
Yes, George, this is Frank in Los Angeles,
uh-huh.
But I do have something very important to say to you regarding the Mayan calendar, and it's not the end of the world, it's the end of this world age. But before I do that, I want to just say to you, I'm sorry you had to go through biting into a pizza roll and having that unbelievable pain.
Unbelievable.
Things get hot from the inside out, and I'm sure you'll never make that mistake again.
Ever. Ever.
Anyway, let me go on because I know
that was my personal apocalypse, by the way.
Anyway, let me get back to what I was going to say. The Mayan count. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of a world age. Like you know, you have childhood, adolescence, and adulthood that we go through. Well, the world goes through different ages too. What just happened was the end of a world age. You had the 2,000-year church age, which ended in the year 2000, but Jesus Christ came to the Jew first and to the Gentile second. The Bible says this. Then you have 12 years of grace, 1 year of grace for every son that Jacob had because Jacob was Israel, and you come to the year 2012, you have the Mayan calendar. What's going to happen next is the rapture. And that's going to occur in January of 2013. And in February of 2013 is the rise of the Antichrist and the New World Order, which is Satan's neo-Nazi beast.
That's government. Right around the corner.
That's February 2013. Now, February the 5th, 1962, the birth of the Antichrist was foretold by Nostradamus and Gene Dixon. February of 2013, he'll be 51 years of age. 5 and 1 makes 6, and 6 is the mark of Satan. Now, prophecies are often warnings. Edgar Cayce said this, not adamantly fixed. So people who believe in humanitarian values over economic values, that people are more important, like Barbara Streisand's song, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. These people should all get together because evil thrives when good men do nothing. When people like you and Oprah Winfrey and Steven Spielberg and Francis Ford Coppola all march on Washington the same way they did during Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech and say no new world order in the United States of America, no new world order in Canada, Mexico, Central, South America, in the Western Hemisphere, or in Western Europe, in England, France, and Spain, Portugal. No new world order in Western Europe either. Keep it contained in Central Europe.
Well, see, that's easy to say, but I'm not so sure that people will do that in mass. And as we last question for you here, Robert, and I'll let you go, your overall impression of the future, could we have that apocalypse?
Well, I think, you know, you can describe the human condition in a single sentence. You can say that it's the tragedy of it's the brilliance and the tragedy of people that we have. Homo sapiens has incendiary intelligence coupled with instinctive cruelty. And I just don't see anything at all that's changing that. In fact, that our incendiary intelligence is such that we're creating all kinds of really elaborate technology that enables us to do more, create more destruction than we ever could have in the past. And our ethical sense has never kept pace with our scientific and technological achievements. And we're capable of doing far more harm than we could have done 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I just don't see anything in the human in human beings that's reigning in that desire to do bad things. Now, I know that a lot of people believe we're going into an age of transformation. Whitley believes with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I don't see any evidence of that happening. And I think, yeah, there's a half a dozen global horrible crises on our time horizon. There's a financial apocalypse. There's all kinds of
oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah, the singularity point where the intelligent machines take over. There's all kinds of horrible, you know, drought worldwide. There's all kinds of things, and they are going to be, these things are going to come to a head in our lifetime. And, you know, they are all preventable. And the consequences can be mitigated in different ways. But I don't see that we have the will to fix any of it.
No, I don't.
We do have the will to destroy things. That's transparent.
Robert, my friend, enjoy the Christmas season, okay?
I sure will. And thank you.
Always.
And you have a great holiday.
That's George. Robert Gleason, author of course, Apocalypse 2012. Lee Spiegel writes for the Huffington Post. And Lee, you were concerned that just about anything could happen because of this, weren't you?
Oh, I was. You know, of all the fears that people seem to have had leading up to December 21st, one thing that a lot of media outlets didn't pay much attention to was a specific psychological impact that it was having on people. And I wasn't even aware of this until Dr. David Morrison, a NASA scientist, and he's with the SETI Institute in California, he pointed this out to me when he was putting his Doomsday 2012 fact sheet together that was posted on both SETI and NASA websites. He was concerned about, and then he made me concerned, that there were reports, not only were some children contemplating suicide over the things they were hearing about the alleged end of the world, but at least one science teacher reported that the parents of two of her students told her they were planning to kill their children and themselves in a family suicide before December 21st. And I went, wait a minute.
And it may be too prematurely, but we don't know if any of that occurred or not.
Exactly. I haven't heard any statistics yet about the possibility, and I'm going to do some follow-up because I hope it didn't happen at all, anywhere.
I hope. Lee, enjoy the holidays.
Thank you. You too, George.
Lee Spiegel. William Henry, of course, a giant among men. William, of course, is a mythologist, author, his own host in his own right. William, it didn't happen.
I'm sorry, George, the call just beeped in. How are you?
I'm doing well. So were you surprised at the kind of calmness of the day?
I was, absolutely. I mean, recognizing that 2012 is simply kind of a mile marker, really. I mean, where we're going is a process, not a destination, but still it did have kind of an eerie calm to it. And I think that's part of what kind of also sort of adds to the excitement in a way, George. People are like, wait a minute, you know, did something happen? Have we missed it? Am I really feeling something? And I think it has left a lot of people just sitting here going, well, okay, now what?
Now what? Because what if something can happen? What if this window that we've looked at is much broader than we think?
Well, I think it is much broader than we think. Judgment Day is every day. December 21st, 2012 is really every day, because part of the whole idea of 2012, as many came to understand it, was an internal process. It was something that was causing us to rethink, redesign, and rebuild our world view. And that's an ongoing process and will continue. And now it's up to us to say, well, wait a minute, if we're not satisfied with the instantaneous fix it now kind of thing that we wanted, now the real work begins.
John is in Bonnie Lake, Washington, west of the Rockies. You're on with us and William Henry. Go ahead, John.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, John. Thanks.
You know, I was watching a documentary today about how that about 1,500 miles or 2,000 miles off the Peru, that there's an island, and how that they found that there's some carvings there, on huge carvings of a Mayan king, and behind the Mayan king is a jaguar. And it came to me that the jaguar would come in like a lamb, but go out like a lion.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to pounce upon the Mayan king. They took it out of their realm because that was where they would be able to see the alignment of the planets and so on to the center of the sun and our universe most perfectly. And the jaguar will pounce now upon the Mayan king. But the Mayan king means globally. They took it out of their realm. They went out of their way to show us that it's global.
Let's see what the mythologist has to say about that, William.
Well, the jaguar is a very important symbol to the shamans, and it's really a protective force. It protects from evil spirits as the shaman moves between the earth realm and the realm of spirit. So actually, it's a positive thing.
Next up, Lodi, California. Stephen, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hi, George. Glad to be on your show.
You too. Thank you.
The other day, I had an epiphany thinking about Terrence McKenna's time wave theory ending in 2012.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that instead of time compressing, maybe what Terrence saw was mankind's knowledge and consciousness expanding and doubling faster and faster.
Well, that could be too.
And to today we reached a threshold in which we moved into a new awareness.
When your DVD came out, William, Stargate 2012, tell me the premise of that.
Well, the premise was the Mayans proposed that there's a connecting link between Earth and the galactic center. They described it as a serpent rope. However, today we think we can take out the archaic term serpent rope and put in the modern word wormhole or Stargate, and came to the conclusion that there could be a wormhole that links Earth with the galactic center. And when you look around, the idea of the Stargate or the wormhole has suddenly just taken hold in mass human consciousness. And I think that's one of the manifestations of the whole 2012 concept, is the unity of all things, as well as our connection with the galactic center.
How did you feel when the day came and the day went and nothing happened?
Well, I wasn't surprised to begin with. I mean, part of one thing I have to say I was excited about or pleased about is that finally all the 2012 experts are going to stop pointing to the Aztec sunstone and calling it the Mayan calendar. I mean, that was one of the things, one of my pet peeves about 2012, is that 99.9% of the time when someone had a book about 2012 or a program about it, they would put the Aztec sunstone up and call it the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
I mean,
totally wrong.
Totally crazy.
William, what's new with you?
Well, I've just put out my new book, The Judgment Day Device. I share some of the sentiments of Robert Gleason that we are in a window of time here where our technology can just absolutely run over us, but at the same time, we have the possibility of creating new technologies that completely unify the world and transform it, bringing an era of peace. That's the hope I hold out.
Well, and we need that era of peace as well. But you were not disappointed, overwhelmed that whatever this calendar might have meant, we surely didn't see it on December 21st.
No, because 2012 united people. It brought a massive intention to change our world, and that's a good thing. And we're forever changed by this moment, and we won't be fooled again either, is another good thing about this.
William, get out your website, if you would, please.
My website is williamhenry.net.
And do you still monitor how many hits you get and everything else?
Not as much as I should, probably, but thank you. Yeah, and I thank you so much, George, for all the work that you're doing and for bringing everybody together on this day and every day. It's extraordinary.
It's a moment of enlightenment for everybody, William.
It is. It's a wake-up call. It's good morning to everybody, and let's get to work. Let's get busy.
And Merry Christmas to you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you and everybody listening. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, as a matter of fact, I can't wait for our programs on Christmas Eve and Christmas night. Really looking forward to it, and we've been putting together some special bumper songs for you. It'll be all Christmas theme related and some surprises, by the way. We're going to come back in a moment. More on the Mayan calendar extravaganza on Coast to Coast AM.